Welcome back to the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, we have a lot of musicians and bands on this program, and the biggest question I get over and over is, Justin, who's your favorite? What kind of music do I like? And that's hard to say, but if pressed, I'd say my favorite band of all time is the British heavy metal legend, Spinal Tap. Spinal Tap is one of the world's greatest bands, made famous by the Marty DeBerge documentary, or rockumentary, This is Spinal Tap, back in 1984. They're rock and roll through and through. They knock you out with their exuberance, their raw power, and their punctuality. The bandmates are legendary. David St. Hubbins, Nigel Tufnell, and of course, bassist Derek Smalls. You could hear Smalls' signature bass sounds on tracks like Big Bottom, and he introduced the world to the double-necked bass guitar, as well as bringing the handlebar mustache and hip-hugger trousers to the mainstream. And 50-plus years after Tap started, Smalls, well, he's gone solo. The new album is called Smalls Changed, Meditations Upon Aging, and it features some of the best musicians working today, like Dweezil Zappa, Judith Owen, and Jane Lynch. And it taps into his rock and roll roots. That's a track, Rock and Roll Transplant, but it's not all straight-ahead metal. Small shows his softer, more poetic sides on tracks like this one with the Hungarian Studio Orchestra.
Age is just a number. Number is just a word. Word is just a thing.
It's not every day that we get a true pioneer on this program, but it's our honor and our pleasure to welcome Derek Smalls to the download tonight. Derek Smalls, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Justin.
This is a real honor to have you here. And I guess I start with, why get back into rock and roll? Why go solo?
Well, I never got away from rock and roll. Rock and roll got away from me. It's like, you know, when there was this gigantic continent that used to be on the Earth called Pangaea, and then it split up, and then you have South America and Africa all of a sudden. And that was why I was standing in the same place, and all of a sudden I'm not in a band anymore. The other people in Tap had drifted off to be their own continents. So I was eager to get back into it. And fortunately, there's a recently set up agency in the United Kingdom called the British Fund for Aging Rockers, and they had some money laying about, apparently, thanks to austerity, and were doing grants to aging rockers. And I applied and got it, and you know, said, what do you want to do with it? And you're not just going to lay about. And I said, no, got an idea for a record and a tour. And it was about growing old, older, time passing, you know, because there's, and people would say, well, that's limiting, isn't it? I'd say, you know, there are only two kinds of people in the world, people who are getting older and dead people. So I'm aiming at the right half of the marketplace.
Well, you know, with digital music these days, you have to put everything in a category. So you think about Spotify and iTunes and other places. So what category do you put this album, this new work, Smalls Change, in? Is it rock and roll? Is it for retirees? Who's this for?
Explosive, thoughtful rock.
Okay.
That would be my category. I don't know if it exists. No, it's for people who, you know, it's for everybody who's wondering what's happening, you know. Teenagers wonder what's happening to my body, and people in their 40s and 50s wonder what's happening to my body. Everybody's always wondering what's happening to my body and my mind. So this is an album for everybody who's going through that at whatever age, because it's about all of that and more.
As I mentioned in the lead, there's a lot of diversity in this music. You'll go with the rock and roll, the tried and true, the stuff that reminds us of Tap.
There's three reliable chords, yeah.
Yeah.
One, four, and five, yeah.
Yeah, one, four, right. But there's still diversity. You'll get reflective in some tracks. You'll find ways. There's even something that's a little bit more jazzy towards the end. Talk about what you wanted to accomplish by bending the genres of rock and roll.
I was just going where the songs took me. You know, if a song said, you know, we're rock and roll, you can get out here. Or if the song said, we're going a little distance, don't be scared. I'm not a Uber driver. I'm not going to rough you up. I'm just going to take you on a little more interesting trip than I went with it there. But I want to say that, you know, you mentioned a couple of the people who are playing on it, but real legends of rock and roll are on this record. Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, yeah. Rick Bloody Wakeman, Donald Bloody Fagen, David Bloody Crosby, Dweezil Bloody Zappa. I mean, it goes on and on. Right. There's an amazing group of people on this record, and I'm very proud of it that they agreed after much pleading and urging to be on it with me.
You grew up in a musical family without your mother. Explain.
Well, my mom left when I was about three to go join an all-female sort of jive band in the 40s, white jive band called the Hottentotties, based in Hutton, England. And my dad wasn't musical. He was more technological in his leanings. He sanitized telephone handsets back in the days when people had, you know, landlines and proper phones. But yeah, that was that thing with my mom always, you know, lingering, not just in the smell of the upholstery, but in just the idea that she'd gone into music and that maybe that's where I was going to end up too. Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like as you follow your career, even Spinal Tap and the other project that you've worked on, it does feel like you're chasing something, that you're almost following in the footsteps of your mom, going on the road, traveling, trying to find your voice through the music. Do you think that has to do a little bit with your mom leaving you at such a young age?
Well, of course, her footsteps were in high heels, so that's not a practical question. But everything has an effect on you, and the earlier it happens, the bigger the effects. So, you know, what happens to you in the morning is more important than what happens at 4 in the afternoon, I think.
Right. Derek Smalls, my guest, the legendary bass player for Spinal Tap, has a new solo career and a new album called Smalls Change, Meditation Upon Aging. It's coming out this week, and you got a tour which will be all over the summer. We'll talk about that in a second. You know, a lot of people are going to know you and the band from, of course, like myself, from being fans in the 70s and all the records that came out, but also the rockumentary that came out in 1984. Which, you know, looking back on some of the press and some of the quotes that you've given, you and the band members of Spinal Tap didn't really like the way you were portrayed. You call it a hit piece. Talk about...
I called it a hatchet job.
A hatchet job. Why do you say that?
Well, is it Justin?
Yeah, Justin.
Justin, just think about this. That movie was supposed to be a documentary about our first American tour. 26 cities, 25 actually, one pulled out. And I'm going to be approximate here, but about 90.0423% of the time, we found our way to the stage straight away.
Right.
You didn't see that in the film, did you?
No, we just saw you in Cleveland, stuck in the doldrums of the building. Yeah,
that's right. And we had this pod that we were all in, and I was, and you, and again, about, I'd say 83.7% of the time, I got out of the pod straight away. So Marty, the director of the film, I think had an agenda, and I'll be very fair and lean over both ways to be fair to say he presented himself as a fan of the band, and we let him go on the tour with us because he said, "Oh, I just want to document you." I think what he thought was, was, I'm a fan of this band. They've been around for 17 years. They've really not broken through yet. I'm going to help them break through by portraying them as laughing stocks.
You think that was his agenda?
I think that was the beginning and end of his agenda. You can't spell agenda without end.
One of the scenes, and I guess looking at it through this lens, and there's the great scene that shows you guys in the theme park after Nigel leaves the band and you go into the Mach 2 of Spinal Tap, the Jazz Odyssey. It's portrayed that didn't really work out, that was a disaster. But from your point and your vantage point and what you're telling us now, was it a disaster or was it a success?
Well, Jazz Odyssey was my attempt to do a musical excursion into the world of jazz. It was a two-chord song, and I think that was a bit challenging for the other players. I've actually gone back to that well and followed it up with a tune I call Jazz Iliad, which is just one chord.
Just one chord,
So it just frees you up. It just frees you up if you're going to be experimenting, and it's a musical incursion as a result, because it drives you inward. It defines what I know. There's not another chord here. What else can I find? I've got to, as the real estate agents say, I've got to inquire within.
Right. For you in this career, and you being a pioneer, being a heavy metal band out of Britain in the 70s and 60s and 70s, but just being a band that, as we saw in the documentary in 1984, is the highs and the lows. You personally have gone through a lot of highs and lows. You've had addiction in your life, and you've continued to deal with that issue. How has that been a part of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, Derek Smalls, as we know it in Spinal Tap?
Well, it was not none of those things. It was an addiction to the internet, and I did two bouts of therapy for it in this little clinic in Staines, a community just outside London, Staines with an E, it was debilitating. I would be sitting in my room, staring at my computer. My then wife Cindy would come in with, "Here's your dinner, mate. Here's your dinner, Del," and set it down. And she'd come back 3 hours later, and I hadn't touched it. She said, "You haven't touched it." And I said, "No, I didn't even." So then I knew two things. I knew I really had to get treatment for the addiction, and I had to get involved with a woman who could cook better.
Right.
I did both.
You did. And congrats on the recovery.
Thank you. I'm down to 10 minutes a day on the mobile phone.
That's good.
All I can do.
Okay. Yeah. The tour is called Lukewarm Water, and that's a reference.
Lukewarm Water Live.
This is a reference to a quote from the film where you talk about the relationship between Nigel Tufnell and David St. Hubbins as being fire and ice, and you're right in the middle of Lukewarm Water.
Yes.
How has Lukewarm Water changed without those personalities present? How has Lukewarm Water? Are you still lukewarm? Is Lukewarm Water on this record?
Well, Lukewarm Water is how I describe the role of the bass player. The bass player is the glue. If Lukewarm Water, if water could be glue, it would be the glue of a bass player in a band, holding it together while the visionaries, the guitar players, who are always excessive, go on their flights of excess. Well, now I'm the leader. I'm not a guitar player. I'm still a bass player. But I found that when I was standing where a bass player normally stands, I realized the lights are not as bright as they are at that center microphone where the lead singer stands.
Right.
And one thing, Justin, right?
Yeah, Justin.
One thing you realize when you get, when age creeps up, is you get more sensitive to the cold. And so Lukewarm Water, because I'm now standing at that center mic, is getting warmer.
All right. I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Even if I weren't there for the women and the adulation and the money and all the rest of it, I'd be there just for the warmth.
Just for the warmth. You've been in a lot of different projects. One that doesn't get as much mention is the voyage you took into Christian rock with the band Lamb's Blood. You got a little bit of success with Whole Lotta Lord. Do you try to court that genre of fans to come over to the solo work? Where does it stand when it comes to your relationship with Christian music fans?
Well, I got, when I went into Lamb's Blood, which was in the early 90s, they really didn't believe that I was committed. And so I got a fish tattoo, right. The fish tattoo that they... And then when I came back into Spinal Tap, my mates looked at me a bit askance, and so I got a tattoo of the devil eating the fish. Now, I had laser tattoo removal surgery long since. It was so long ago. It was the dawn of laser tattoo removal. They were using the brown laser, which hurts like the devil. And I don't say that in any disrespect to the devil. It just hurts a lot. But I'm welcoming all comers. You know, I make no protestations. I don't wear my spiritual practice on my sleeve. I keep it inside my clothing. But I welcome everyone who just loves hard rocking music with a bunch of strings and horns bashed on top of it.
My last question, just as there have been a couple of reunions for Spinal Tap over the years, as we hit 2018 and you're back on tour and you're getting the taste of it, of being back in rock and roll, any chance we might see the three of you come back together as Spinal Tap and wow the audiences once again?
Justin, it is Justin.
Yeah, it's Justin, yeah.
I would ask you, is there any chance that South America and Africa would become Pangaea again?
Not knowing much about geography, I don't think that's possible, but maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, all these plates are moving,
right?
You know, all the time. We're on a planet where there's plates moving all the time, and we then sit down to dinner and think it's all right, everything's going to be all right. So I can't say no, never. You know, they say never, don't say never, ever. Or they say never again. But whatever it is, you know, you can't predict the future. All I know is I get these letters from David in the post, Davidson Hubbard's, and they're all in Chinese pictographs. So, and I don't read those. So he could be saying, let's get back together. He could be saying, I love the new record. Or he could be saying, I'd like the duck and dim sum for three. I have no idea.
Derek Smalls, the longtime legendary bass player for Spinal Tap, is now, of course, a solo artist with the album Smalls Change, Meditations Upon Aging, Lukewarm Water Live. Will be the tour this summer where he's playing select locations and hopefully Chicago. We hope you come through.
I hope to come through with the symphony. It's a symphony tour, so it starts in New Orleans and ends up so far in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Bloody Center on the mid-July
Amazing.
With the National Symphony.
Amazing. Derek Smalls, it was my pleasure to have you on the show tonight. Thanks for taking some time out. We know you're busy. Thank you.
My pleasure, Justin. Thank you. It is Justin, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.